News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Lambert sounds like a great place, but I'll tell you what, getting up at 3:30 in the morning, if I eat great country cooking at noon, you talk about unproductive.
Lights out.
I'm on wherever you are, like your office. I'll drop by and see you, but then I'm going to lay on the sofa for a while, and that's going to be that. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. President Joe Biden's COVID-19 vaccination campaign hit that snag yesterday. Was that news out before we got off the air, maybe right around?
I think it was while we were on the air, maybe right, towards
last
the
half
end.
Hour.
Yeah, but the Johnson & Johnson pause.
It's a pause.
It's and a pause.
Explain to my mother, it's just a pause. she said, take some rigatoni with you.
Yeah.
I said, no.
You've already given me enough food.
Ma!
Come on. That was our version of Dr. Fauci speaking yesterday and trying to calm everyone down. He's the calmer in chief, isn't he? That's kind of his role.
Kind of is, yeah.
One in a million is kind of what they're saying, that this blood clot symptom has been showing up. So six women, all of them between the ages of, what was it, 60? I had it right here.
16 and 48?
16 and 48.
Something like that.
Yes, six women, and they all happened between 6 and 13 days after receiving the J&J vaccine. So there have been about 7 million people that have gotten the J&J vaccine.
One of them on the text line, by the way, letting us know how he's feeling. He says no side effects, doing just fine. He got it last Friday.
So I think the big question is, coming in at 1 in a million rate, is that really all? Is that really all of the people that have had blood clotting due to the J&J vaccine? Why shut things down when only six have been? And now one of these women has died and died 12 days after getting the vaccine, and they're trying to figure out exactly what role the vaccine and possible blood clotting played in that.
But, right, so I think what they're doing, Dalton, it's not eliminating J&J. The pause is to get a better understanding of case by case, what is similar about these women, what kind of medications are they on right now that could have played a role.
Okay.
Where, you know, really understanding each case, including the death. This, again, is Anthony Fauci right here.
So we know that there have been 6.85 million doses of J&J distributed in the United States thus far. So someone who maybe had it a month or two ago would say, what does this mean for me? It really doesn't mean anything. You're okay, because if you look at the frame, the time frame when this occurs, it's pretty tight from a few days, 6 to 13 days from the time of the vaccination.
So the woman passed away 12 days after she was vaccinated, something like that, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I believe it was right around 12 days that she passed away after getting that J&J vaccine. But what will this do? You know, will it? I think the intention for shutting it down as soon as they did, as early as they did, was maybe to, on their end, hopefully gain trust in the American people and say, look, we're looking out for you. Because I think the picture that most people have of the federal government, including me, is that they're just trying to get this vaccine through the population come hell or high water.
Right.
And they just, that's been the message the entire time, right?
Yep.
Go out, get the vaccine, don't pay attention to any of these stories because they're not related to the vaccine, these deaths, and what we need is herd immunity. Go get the vaccine, go get it. And it doesn't, to me, I was like, you know, there may be stuff going on, and we just, outside of some really, some websites that really aren't mainstream or are making just, you know, wild accusations.
Right.
Other than that, there hasn't been much reporting on any cases of symptoms from vaccines or deaths from vaccines. And I think the government, by saying, hey, we need to pause on this J&J vaccine rollout, is just them saying, we are checking into it. We are looking into it to make sure it's safe. But I don't think it'll be taken that way. I think people who were maybe scheduled to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine will now have a pause of their own that may last a lot longer than the federal government's willing to pause on giving them out. And how many people even know the difference? I mean, we do because we talk about it constantly here, but just hear vaccine and they hear vaccine.
That's a good point. I think everybody knows which one is going in their arm. I think they're paying close enough attention to know that.
Mm.
Scott Chambers from right here at Mobile County Health Department was on Sean's show yesterday, Midday Mobile. He talked about trying to get all of those cases again into some sort of context where you could really understand it. And at one time, for 15 years, Scott Chambers worked with Johnson & Johnson.
That's right.
And actually worked in the area that these people are, who are now looking over what may have gone right or wrong. Mm. Or so he has a really inside information on this.
We're starting to understand more and more, and it appears that the safety profiles on both of those vaccines are extremely good. So not seeing the clotting issues. You know, if, and we talked about this before, you know, early on there were reports of death, and somebody said, well, there's 7 deaths in Norway, and then you realize, well, there's 400 deaths in that same population per week in the exact setting. So that's where you have to get into how much context is available, and putting that number into perspective is so critically important.
So he was talking about Moderna and
Pfizer
right there, about their efficacy was really strong, no backlashes or anything like that, or cases that he was aware of, and then putting the Johnson & Johnson situation in perspective. And I think when he was talking about that Europe, he was talking about AstraZeneca.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of these when they speak, and I don't really know what they're talking about, it kind of gives me comfort, because it's like, okay, I think I know what he means, but that what they're trying to do is go case by case, really figure out exactly what meds, what other things could have been contributing to their illness or death.
Interesting. Yeah. And that makes sense. I guess what they're calling this blood clotting, cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. And that's a condition that blocks blood from leaving the brain. And at least a few, if not all of these women that they're checking into the cases of, I guess, had this CVST. In a general population, they said it occurs in about 5 out of 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So just from the numbers alone that the CDC has put out there, that 7 million have gotten the vaccine and there's 6 that they know of with these complications, that fits. Like, that's actually lower than the average.
Yeah, exactly.
But what they said is weird is that these cases are happening in younger women,
yeah,
who normally don't face that kind of a risk for that type of blood clot. So that's why they're looking into it. But they've got to nail the messaging, I think, coming out of this, the government. If they want more people to get the vaccine, I think they just lost a bunch of people off their rolls just by even pausing it yesterday. And what's interesting is I thought it would have gone the other way. It's the Pfizer and the Moderna that are made of the mm-hmm. mRNA,
mm-hmm.
which is the new science that made this available so quickly, because they've been working on mRNA vaccines.
Less like a they're the two vaccines that are less like the vaccines that we've been
right.
had in the past.
Yeah, the traditional vaccine.
Right.
And the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca are more like mm-hmm. traditional vaccines. So for those two to be the ones that are having issues in the rollout, that is the most surprising to me. You would have thought that it'd be Pfizer and Moderna that would have issues with people getting them. But those have been shown to be more efficient and apparently less symptoms of any kind of risk.
Yeah, and I think someone like Dr. Scott Chambers would say, no, there's a reason for that, and here it is. And then you and I would stare at him like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
Like, there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so anyway, the pause is here. I'm thinking maybe in a week or 10 days, sooner than that, Johnson & Johnson back being a vaccine of choice, or one you can choose, and this will all kind of go away. That's what I'm thinking. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. Our show is Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. A lot of local talk. Start your day with it. You've got Jeff Poore beginning at 9 o'clock today. In fact, Jeff's going to come on with us a little bit earlier than that. And then you got Sean Sullivan from 12 to 2 with a real tradition, Midday Mobile. So who's Jeff got coming on?
Lots of talk about what's happening in Montgomery as they kind of Start to wrap up the legislative session up there. I think 8 days left in the legislative session. Jeff will have on Congressman Gary Palmer. So he's not a state rep, but a United States rep. We'll talk about what's happening in D.C. with him. And then after that, he will speak with the Jefferson County GOP chairman, Paul DeMarco, and then Sean Ross with Yellowhammer News. And Sean Ross doing a great job keeping up with what's happening there in Montgomery, bills that are passed and the bills that make it to Ivy's desk for her to sign. So that'll be some interesting guest conversations there on the Jeff Poor Show.
So it'll also be interesting to see if Jeff, in any way, if maybe he was following the gambling legislation close enough where he wasn't surprised by what happened last night. Just kind of keeping my eye on that story. I was a little surprised that we've gone back in this direction again. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like a bill that would simply ask Alabamians to vote for or against a lottery seemed like the cleanest of them all, and I thought that's where we were going.
Yeah, that seemed like it was the layup, right?
Yeah.
Just a
yeah.
clean lottery yes. bill. But yeah. Listening to Senator McClendon, he said that he didn't feel he had the votes
interesting.
In the Senate by just doing a clean lotto bill. So they added in casinos. What seems different about the casinos in this case, they said the four Greyhound tracks, which would include the one in Theodore, and then two other casinos around the state would be become legal. But what is different this time is there would be bidding, open bidding, except the current operators, I guess, of those tracks would have the right to have the final offer. So, you know, open bidding, and then they get the final offer, see if they want to match or raise the bid to control those rights, which I'd love to for Jeff to kind of fill in some of those blanks for us. Sean, he said coming up on midday, he'll have Cameron Smith to talk about the gambling bill and also about Biden's gun control plan.
So are we going to have Harris Casino Theodore?
See, that's what I'm not sure. If Harrah's comes
not
in, or whoever their parent company is, and wins the rights, yeah, that seems to be the case here from what I've read. And remember, this happened pretty late last night. I've read three or four different sites' takes on exactly what the lottery bill is now, but it seems so much more like the original Del Marsh bill.
It does.
That didn't make it through.
It does.
You have lottery, you have the casinos that I just mentioned, and then sports gaming also would be become not legal yet, but it would go to referendum and Alabamians would be allowed to vote on it. Also, I'm not sure if it would be three separate votes on one ballot, whether you'd have lottery, yes or no, casinos, yes or no, sports gambling, yes or no, or whether it would all be one yes or no vote for all or nothing.
That would change everything. Okay. And then, you know, we could have Hard Rock Theodore, and you could have you could have Two Dog Night come in, because the one guy
No longer.
I don't know if he's dead or he's mad at the other two.
Yeah.
So you could have Two Dog Night come in, and you could get dinner on a Saturday night and gamble your life away and go to a great show. Remember the early 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful times.
I remember the early 70s like just yesterday.
I don't. So we're looking at the text line. We've got a variety of things going on there.
Yeah, so we were talking about the riots, the protests in Minneapolis. Well, not Minneapolis, in a suburb of Minneapolis, Brooklyn Center. Last night was the third night in a row. And I played some audio earlier from a Fox News reporter, saying that the makeup of the protesters last night looked a lot different than the makeup of the protesters on the first night, Sunday.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Got some of the pros in town now.
The pros came to town. Well, Hal, he says the chronic blaming by quote-unquote conservative media of Antifa for every riot in America reminds me of the 60s anti-war movement. He said, back then, communists were blamed for every anti-war rally, every riot in every city, and this discredited the communist movement. He said a study ordered by Nixon found this narrative 100% false. The DOJ investigation revealed that the protests were organic and local, fueled by fear of the draft. He said, now Antifa is the new enemy. They were immediately called out for inciting the January 6th riots, even though the DOJ investigation rebuked this. And he said, of the hundreds of arrests since then, none have been Antifa. If the Fox reporter can spot Antifa, why aren't they turning them in? 50 people were arrested last night. Why doesn't someone go look at their records? And you know, great points made there by Hal. What I think has happened, first off, the people in Antifa will tell you that they aren't a organized group, which it makes sense, right? It'd be kind of ironic if an anarchist anarchy, if people that want anarchy are part of a group,
yeah, that's kind
to
of
create anarchy,
kind of works against itself.
Yeah, so
that would be a group that doesn't get along with the leadership of the group.
What I think this is, I think that when you hear reporters say Antifa is out and about, I think there are pros involved, but for me, that's become slang for white outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
That you take a town like Brooklyn Center, and I don't know what their what the racial makeup of that town is.
That town might be it's predominantly non-white.
Predominantly non-white.
I believe so. It much more than, say, Minneapolis or St. Paul.
So I think there have been people, you know, ready to riot in Minnesota because of the Chauvin trial that's ongoing. But as far as Brooklyn Center itself, that makes sense, right? That the day it happened, that night, there would be more locals that are organically frustrated by what happened.
They'd
get out and protest. And then by night two or three or four, that's enough time for people who like getting into this kind of business to head that way.
I agree 100%. And like I said, the Antifa, if they have their own American Express card, did they get points and all that kind of thing? I'm kind of saying that tongue in cheek, but the fact is, you've got to get there. Minnesota to the rest of the nation is basically in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So if you're going to get there in quick time, you're probably flying there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not driving to Minnesota, more than likely, unless you're a highly motivated member of Antifa.
Yes.
If Antifa has members, back to that. But so what, like, what kind of frills do these people enjoy along the way? Do they fly in? Do they get a hotel, a nice little hotel in downtown St. Paul where they're away from the riot and they're not bothered by it, but they can go and instigate or be a part of it? What's their protocol?
When I'm on a road trip, you know, I stop, fill up with gas. I might do a practice golf swing out there while I'm waiting for the fuel to make its way in. Just kind of, you know, just... Are they, as Antifa heads towards, you know, next place of riot, they're getting their car filled up or they go in to go to the restroom, they're looking at that glass like, all right, this is how I'm going to break the glass once I get to Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
How about this? Antifa is on the way there, and they're thinking, if I get to a hotel tonight, hear me out, if I get to a hotel tonight, I can probably sneak in 9 holes
morning. Get a little golf trip in.
Get a little golf in at that sweet place outside of St. Paul that I've been always wanted to go to, that country club, and hit the ball there, or that course. Get 9 holes in, little nap,
right? Something in your stomach.
Get something in your stomach, and then 6 o'clock, I'm good to go. And you know, what kind of double lives are they possibly living?
I've got to know. What is it like to plan your Antifa road trip?
Exactly. That's the question I'm asking. We'd love to hear from you on the text line and see if you can let us know what is.
What's a must do?
What is a must do?
What do you got to do on your Antifa road trip?
Antifa road trip? The weather's getting nicer. Golf. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Erwig. And your calls at 343-0106.
836 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing well here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. Wondering what kind of great deals you have right now at McConnell.
Truck City, truck capital. I mean, we've got more trucks here than I've ever seen, just about. We've got them coming in. I think we got about 8 or 9 coming in. Mm. We got them on the website. You can check those out. We got something, a kind of a rare bird, 2020 3/4 ton Denali with a gas motor. I hadn't seen one of those in a while.
Wow.
But we got one of those. It should be here Thursday. I think it's got 10,000 miles on it. Also traded in a 2019 Denali XL, black on black, with 50,000 miles on it. We're going to certify that little baby and get it out front. Y'all need to check everything out online. We're trying to put them online once we buy them at McConnellAutomotive.com. Check those out and check out all the new car stuff. I mean, we got great deals on trucks, and we got a few new trucks in stock. I think we got a couple of X31s in, so a couple of AT4s. Mm. I know we got an AT4 gray Yukon that's for sale, so y'all can check those out and come on by and see us. We're on Dolphin Street, east of I-65, or give us a call, 251-476-4141. That's McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, you know how I feel about those Yukon AT4s, so that won't be around very long. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Urata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
He's not the only one on the line this morning. It's 8:38 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan in Dalton, Oregon, Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the pause for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that happened yesterday. And Ricky, who I keep up communication with throughout the day on the text line, I actually talked with Ricky some yesterday and promised I would try to get someone who is against the vaccines, a doctor that is not in line with the rest of the doctors that are telling everybody to get vaccinated. I told Ricky, at some point here, we'll get an anti-vax doctor on to show the other side. Ricky, I'm going to try to make that happen, but until then, you're the closest we've got. So what do you have for us this morning?
Well, Dr. Coleman of the UK, he's on all the doctors on Brand New Tube, okay? Brand New Tube. If you want to find out all the information I have, it's on Brand New Tube. That's where all the virologists in the world are assembling to try to stop the vaccine rollout. Is the mRNA medical device. It's not a vaccine. It won't stop you from catching anything, but it will change your DNA. The doctor, the vaccine maker of the last 20 years, Dr. Bosch, Javen Dr. Bosch, is the vaccine maker. He is saying this is going to kill millions if we don't stop it. We're creating a super bug, and all the people that are getting vaccinated, those are the ones that's going to turn into zombies, because the mRNA is going to turn against their own immune system and turn them into, you know, they put 72 poisons in the in the mRNA, and it will start unleashing in 3 to 6 months when it starts turning it on their own immune system.
Hey, two questions real quick, Ricky.
I've had such a bad year. That might be a nice turn of events in my
blessing.
Life.
Yeah. All right, one question. So the J&J one, Johnson & Johnson, yeah, and the AstraZeneca, those are not mRNA, right? But those are the two that have been slowed down.
No, they all are mRNA. That's another lie. They all are mRNA vaccines.
So they're lying to us about two of the vaccines.
Yes.
They said
they're
mRNA. Second question here. You said within the next 3 to 6 months, vaccines began being distributed in early December. That would put us at about month six. Why aren't we seeing deaths in mass?
What the doctors are saying, that when the new season, when the flu bug season comes back in and it starts, everybody starts catching it, the mRNA medical device inside you is going to turn against your own immune system. It's going to turn. They're already saying that it's leaking into the brain. This is why the top vaccine makers are stopping it, because they realize it's leaking into the brain, and they're now realizing that there's no stopping it from the stuff that's in the vaccine will actually eat your brain and cause autoimmune system. That's why you're having these bad side effects so bad. And they're by the way, the side effects, people, the real numbers are there's over 100,000 side effects and over 4,000 deaths by VAERS on the CDC website. They're not even keeping up with this is what we can keep up with. There's doctors all over the world that are trying to stop it, because they're not even counting the deaths or the side effects. They're trying to keep that on the hush-hush, on the low-low, so the next wave comes through. But it's falling apart on them, and doctors all over the place are Dr. Cahill, Dr. Coleman,
hey, Ricky.
Dr. Bosch.
Okay.
By the way, before I forget, look, you cannot catch a virus.
That's what I had to ask you about. Why can't you catch a virus, Ricky?
Because the virus is not alive. It's not what they say it is. God did not create viruses that we'd have to deal with to put vaccines in. Okay, the Bible does not talk anything about what this pseudoscience come up with. It's just like them saying we come from apes and Darwin's theory and all that, the Big Bang. That's the kind of doctor, that's pseudoscience. That's the kind of ungodly doctors that are creating these monsters to tell you, but there's doctors out there that are putting up $1 million cash prize if you can prove that a virus is real.
Well, that's like trying to, at the state fair at the pie contest, and you slip the judge a five and you think, yeah. Hey, how about my lemon meringue?
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, the virus is going to be pretty disappointing when it gets a look at the size of my brain. It's like going to a buffet where you're getting cheated out. Like
yeah.
So anyway, it's going to have quite a time eating my brain. Do we want to go to another caller
here? Yeah, I think, equal time rules. We gave Ricky equal time there because we're always talking about the vaccine. So now we've heard the other side. Let's go back to the line here. And line four, let's talk with Miguel. Is that right? Is this Miguel?
This is Miguel. Buenos dias, senores.
Buenos dias, Miguel. What do you have for us?
I'm just calling to congratulate my comrades on the invasion that is taking place and congratulate our Supreme Commander-in-Chief for opening the borders for us again. We've been infiltrated, and we have this plan now. And once we get H.R. 1 passed, everything will be in place for us to take over and make this new USA that stands for.
Thanks, Miguel. One accent at a time, please. One phony accent at a time.
I had some questions for him.
Okay,
right.
You want to talk to him?
Yeah, well,
hey, wait.
Yeah, see, what side of the border do you currently reside, Miguel?
I am in Tillman's Corner at the moment, but wait.
Yes.
ICE is at the door. They're bringing donuts. We're having coffee this morning. Oh. I must go. Adios.
All right.
Okay, there you go.
There was a definitely real Mexican on the line there.
did we have to go back to him?
No, I guess it wasn't necessary in the end. And let's go back to the phone lines and see if this is also a fake person.
No,
Robert.
It's not. It's our man, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Dalton, how you and Dan doing this morning?
Great, I can speak for myself. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I don't know about Dan.
My brain's being eaten by itself or something like that. But everything's good.
Okay, look, I heard earlier you all said, and one of you said, I think it was Dalton said, he remembered an incident back in 2018, a young lady got killed, she was on her way to work,
2016,
right?
Actually, yeah, yeah.
Okay, 16. But it wasn't really no justice in that case, Dalton.
Why do you say that?
Okay, one of them was 15 years old, right?
Yeah, at the time, yes.
Okay, he got 25 years, right?
Correct, yeah. A jury found him guilty last year, and then yesterday the other suspect pled guilty and got life.
Okay, but that's the part that troubles me, Dalton. The life sentence is not life by itself. He could be out in 15 or 20 years. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Yeah, parole, I'm sure. And I think maybe a lot of people, including the family of that young woman who was killed, would say, it's not equal justice at all, but compared to the alternatives, maybe it's the best they could get.
You know, Robert, I was thinking about that myself. The same thing. I thought, okay, he's getting life. What does it really mean? And I don't know enough people who have ever been sentenced to anything like that to have an idea of how soon he might get out. But
it's 15 or 20 years, Dan.
Gosh, wow.
They should have sentenced him to life without parole.
Right.
There was no justice on that part. Now, the one 15 years old, I don't have no problem with the 25 year. But that other one, it should have been life without parole. See, Dan, they're adding on to the problem that we already got.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come right back and do the same thing 15 years from now if he do 15 years.
Well, we've talked, Robert, thanks for the call. And we've talked about that ad nauseum as well, about how these guys
get out of jail.
Get out and come back and do the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
Some that are on parole for a violent crime in another part of the state.
It happens far too often.
It really does. Jeff Poor on the way.
Yeah, let's talk gambling
all
with Jeff when we get back.
We'll do that. FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for all the calls. 343-0106. And, of course, the text line, too. Appreciate it. 847 now with Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. Hey, y'all, from Dan and Dalton, and if you got to have some sort of a claim out there, maybe you've been in an auto accident or workplace problem and you've been injured and now you're on the sidelines, you're not making your wages, and you've got some problems, right? Well, anyway, you can talk to, I know three guys would be happy to talk to you. Boatler, Richardson, Wolf, that'd be Knox Boatler, Matt Richardson, Mark Wolf, And they're at I-65 and Dolphin Street right there in the glistening six-story building. That's where they are, and they'd love for you to come on by. Maybe you want to call in advance, and you might want to talk about your situation, your case, and your possible claim. 251-433-7766. They'd be happy to talk to you. You can also leave a message, or you can text anytime, same number. Let them know what's up, 251-433-7766. They've also got a really cool interactive website, and you can actually converse with them on that as well at brwlawyers.com. That's brwlawyers.com. That first consultation where they sit down and you sort everything out, that does not cost you a dime. So good local guys that are not some guy on a billboard from somewhere else in the state or another state even. They are Mobilians, and they can help you with your case. Boatler, Richardson, Wolf, brwlawyers.com or 251-433-7766.
All right, time to talk with Jeff Poor. The Jeff Poor Show on the way very soon. And some big news last night for Montgomery, Jeff, as Senator McClendon's lottery amendment actually passed through the Senate. And well, it looks a lot like Senator Del Marsh's original bill that did not pass, correct?
Yeah, so it was a substitute bill that gives everything that Senator Marsh wanted and does it in a, I guess, a way that's compromised. I would say it was pretty. It was an artistry in motion, but it got done, and now it heads to the House of Representatives.
So the original vote was 18 to 11 no. For Del Marsh's bill, and then, or that might have been a different amendment. I can't remember what the original vote was, but for the one last night, that one goes through 23-9. What are the major differences you can tell from the offset in the two bills?
The biggest thing I think is that it does allow for some kind of competitive bidding, although the bidding for this the existing gaming facility operators, they get the last bid. So it's still quasi market, but with some strings attached.
So remind me, who owns the track down in Theodore?
The Porch Creek Indians.
Okay. And also, Dalton and I were wondering about this. When it comes out on the ballot, what will that look like? One yes or no, or
three
or four yes or no's?
Well, one's a constitutional amendment.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So it would take away the prohibition on gambling. But here's the deal. I wouldn't get that far just yet.
Okay.
I would tell you this. I think it. I don't know that it could get through the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Todd Stacey tells me that it ought to have an easier go at it in the House, because he thinks just Democrats control more in the House, and they have the numbers favor them. But I also think the anti-gambling forces, your traditional people who oppose gambling of any type, based on moral grounds, based on ethical grounds, they're more numerous in the House as well. So that remains to be seen. I think what we need to watch for is all of the could this bill that we see right now that got through last night, are they setting us up for a special session? I always thought everything going on in the Senate that we were watching and all this deliberation was just trial balloons for a special session. So when you get to the special session, if it stumbles in the House, Governor Ivey could come in, call the special session. She sets up with the call, and she puts up parameters of what you're going to talk about and discuss and vote on in the special session. And that way you have a more narrow-focused effort than what we may have saw over these last few weeks.
So is it your take then that the House will not pass this through? I think the main complaint from political commentators about the original bill was that it wasn't a very competitive marketplace for the casinos. Mm-hmm. That seems to have been fixed with this one, because at least people can come in and bid on it,
yes,
and you're going to get the highest price. But I think a lot of the politicians, from listening to your show, they were upset that they weren't getting casinos in their particular counties
a few of them are like that. Here's what's interesting, guys. Two yes votes that were previously no votes.
Yeah.
Chris Elliott of Daphne and David Sessions of Mobile.
Interesting.
Curious to see what changed. What was it, the competitive marketplace that put them over on the other side? Because, we've been talking to Elliott on this show since its beginning, and he's always been a no. He came around to be a yes vote. So you wonder what swayed him. The other thing I'd point to about last night's vote, it's always interesting to me, you go through the roll call, and if you could picture these lawmakers the way I do, I kind of map them out in my head what part of the state they're in. And the entire Huntsville delegation, no votes. They just are not going to vote for gaming.
What would your guess be with Chris Elliott? Why did he vote yes while opposing it up until last night?
I mean, this is straight up speculation, right? But it's his argument's always been that he doesn't like that it's not competitive. That it was get picking winners and losers. Something, right? That, if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, well, first off, what are you doing talking about gambling as a means to finance government? But secondly, why are you doing this weird, sort of state sanctioned of taking that philosophy of letting them pick who is going to have a casino and who isn't? Jeff Poor, Don Orwig, and Dan Brennan, if we wanted to go up and up three terrible radio host casinos tomorrow, we could do that. It's not legal, but there's entities in the state that are allowed to do that. Why is that? And that was always something I think a lot of conservatives or Republicans had had issue with.
Yeah, it's the opposite of conservative principles there. So that's very interesting. And I'm sure lots of talk about that coming up. Also, let's see, you're going to speak with Mark Morano with the Climate Depot, Congressman Gary Palmer, Jefferson County GOP Chairman Paul DeMarco, and Sean Ross with Yellowhammer. So looking forward to the show, Jeff.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on.
You got it. Jeff Poor. Jeff Poor Show is next. FM Talk 106.5, 859. Golfing weekends with Antifa. More on that tomorrow.
I'm planning the trip right now.
That's it.